Anyways, the main consensus today, as we've heard in this conference, is that language documentation should be a collaborative enterprise. And we define collaboration here as a mutually beneficial and well-defined relationship to achieve common goals, also a formal and sustained commitment to accomplish a common mission. And from the graduate student point of view, we can see two problems associated with this, with collaborative linguistics. The first one is that grad students do not, in general, collaborate in big projects. They are, as a result, what we call lone wolf linguists. There are exceptions as well, of course. We've seen, like, Stefan yesterday was talking about the Dobes project he's involved in, or the Ikito language documentation project, where you have big teams involving grad students. But it's not, these are more exceptions than the general rule. The other problem that we find, and that's reflected in the literature as well, is that from the grad student linguist point of view, he's going to start his or her research with his or her degree in mind, okay, and not necessarily with a collaborative research in mind. And this, of course, can, you know, lead to a failure of the project if you do not include or respect the wills of all the community members. You might have some disruption, the project might be disrupted because community members who are not included will be question the validity of your project. So therefore, it's really essential to try, you know, as graduate student linguists, it's important to try and find a common goal that will serve both the community and the linguist.
So I'm going to talk about the goals that we have in this talk. Our main goal is to try to demystify the swim-or-sink approach to fieldwork, A, by illustrating how we manage to adjust to our fieldwork sites, and B, by identifying what ingredients common to our different experiences made our project successful, namely a nurtured partnership. So this is the outline of the talk. First, we will describe the language communities we work with. Then we described our background, and then we'll talk about the challenges we faced and how we overcame these challenges.
So we did both fieldwork in Vanuatu, and I worked on Mave Island, which is off the coast of Santo. It's up there in northern Vanuatu. Sebastian worked on Lelepa Island, which is off the coast of Efate in central Vanuatu. And regarding the language community itself, we estimate that in 2009 there were about 210 people on Mave Island, about 500 on Lelepa. And for the number of fluent speakers, there were, we estimate, about 33 fluent speakers on Mavea. They were all in their late 20s and up. And as for Lelepa, about 450 speakers of all age range. And we applied Brenzinger et al. Framework in order to determine the state of endangerment of the languages, and we applied these nine factors there. And based on this framework, we considered Mavea to be a moribund language, given that the language is not spoken at home on a regular basis, and that's also not learned by the children anymore. For Lelepa, the situation is fairly different. There's a large number of speakers and the language is actively transmitted. However, the language is largely undocumented and it's not taught in the community schools. So although the language is not endangered, it could reach this stage in the future.
I'm going to talk now about our backgrounds as students, as graduate students. So you can see that we had quite different backgrounds. We had different training, but neither of us had any fieldwork experience. We only did fieldwork classes. And we also had quite different knowledge of the sites. So Valérie only had book knowledge. She didn't really knew Vanuatu, but I was living in Vanuatu. I've been living in Vanuatu since 2001, and particularly I knew the community. And I was fluent in the Lingua Franca of the country, Bislama. As we mentioned earlier, fieldwork is primarily designed to serve the student. And our beginnings were no different. Our main goal was just to earn a degree. However, when we came on the sites, our goals changed. So now I'm going to talk about the fieldwork, the challenges of fieldwork.
And for me, I made a total of 3 field trips over 3 years. And during my first field trip, the community was really very mildly supportive of the project. And some simply refused to participate. And as a result, I had no choice. I had to work with one consultant that I was assigned. And I found it really hard to recruit more participants. Therefore, I collected little data. And the main reason for this lack of involvement, I believe, was that the community was quite suspicious of me, and they clearly misunderstood my role there, and it's mea culpa, right? I probably just wasn't clear enough. I had a lot of trouble communicating. I mean, some of them spoke English, but very few, and I had no knowledge of Bishlama. I couldn't understand when they were speaking Bishlama or Mavea, the language. So that was one of the problems. The other was that most people thought that I was financially tied to my host family, so they were afraid to interfere in this relation. Other impact on my research and on myself as well was that I was regarded as a stranger, so I was kind of excluded from the community. And therefore, the only relation that I could establish was that of a working linguist, working with a consultant. And this, thankfully, this attitude towards me and my research changed when I came back to the field a second time and a third time. And I got much more support, and I managed to draw more consultants into the research because my goal had became clearer. I spent a lot of time trying to really define what I was going to do there during my first field trip. So I got more participants. As a result, I got more data. And I believe that this change in attitude also was the result of the fact that I as I said, I made my role quite clear, and then I started to develop a different relationship with the community where I was a friend, even a part of the family. I was not this stranger anymore, so I was much more integrated. And the impact also was that I regained much more confidence, and I enjoyed doing the work instead of being this outsider. And also I made it clear that I didn't have any financial tie to just my host family, but that everyone who was participating could benefit from the financial support I was offering. And as far as the community's goal, that was the most unfortunate part, at least for me, is that the community was not interested in language documentation in general because they were not, first of all, concerned by language loss at all, and they didn't really see the point of me, documenting their language. They were very interested in the financial aspect of it. And as a result, it was quite hard for me to establish a collaborative participation, I did manage to engage some part of the community in designing an orthography. And while I was there, I distributed some material, and I'm now also working on the self-publication of a trilingual dictionary that I'm going to send to the community as a token of my interest and commitment to the language community.
Now about my own experience of fieldwork. The first year, I was not able to do a long field trip or several long field trips because I just didn't have the time to do it. So I went to the island 1 week at a time, several times during the year. And so, of course, I was faced with the challenge that I didn't have enough time. So as a result, only a few people were interested or knew what I was doing there. But as I received very good support from one part of the community, namely the chiefs, they chose informants for me who knew that would be interested in the project. And so because of this, the whole community had accepted that I was doing the research. Because of the local field worker, the local Vanuatu Cultural Center field worker, he had a good experience with working with foreign researchers. So he was able to hook me up with people he knew would be interested. And of course, this was very valuable since I had little time to gather data. And despite the little time I spent on the field, I was welcomed by the community members. And if were some in need of an explanation of what I was doing here, then I gave it to them. Anyway, I felt confident and I exploited my time as rationally as I could. And I made a priority to then conduct a long field trip the next year. So in the second year, I returned to the field for now a long period of time. And I still benefited from this great assistance from the chiefs and the local authorities there. I shared my time between the two communities of Lelepa speakers, because in fact, there's one community on Lelepa Island and one smaller community on Efate on the mainland. And as a result of this, I was just able to get more consultant and get more data, more diverse data. Also, I was able to have the community properly understand what I was doing there. And in particular, I organized two village meetings in the two communities to explain what I was doing there. And then suddenly one man just stood up in the middle of the Nakamal, which is the political house in the village. And he just said, "Well, this man is just sent by God, so we have to be nice to him, and we have to support him during this project." And of course, there was, you know, minor frustrations with our part of field work when consultants don't turn up there in the morning and stuff like that. But the engagement of my main consultant would grow, and then the project would really start to take off then. And the chiefs and the speakers who were involved in the project, they had quite clear documentation needs. They wanted to work on a dictionary. They wanted to do a dictionary. So of course, I started to do a dictionary the year before when I started to compile data. And to me, that was a very good thing to start to do a collaboration with them. Later on, one of the chiefs suggested that I did a translation of a hymnal. But this is, we haven't started working on that yet, and we are going to discuss, because I'm going to go back to this community to do a PhD there. And so we are going to discuss about translation of religious texts, which I don't think I'm qualified to do that. So I would like to have the people doing it. And then I could give them assistance, and this way we could start to have a good orthography. This is something that we both faced, gender issues, because of taboo relationships that you find all over Vanuatu and I believe all over Melanesia, between unmarried men and women. So as a man, I worked with males first. So the first year I was there, it was only with males I was. And I was like, "Oh, I would like to speak with women and to talk with women about women's business." And they said, yes, you'll find a woman. Anyway, only on the second year I was considered trustworthy, so then I had access to women.
For me, I also suffered from this taboo. It made my work very difficult. I was working primarily with male speakers, and the problem was that they practiced exogamy, so that all the female Mavea speakers leave the island. And it was very difficult for me. I was lucky enough to find two female speakers of Mavea, who one stayed on the island and brought her husband, and the other is also married into the community, but she's a Mavea speaker from Tutuba, let's say. And so it was clear in our project then that the attitude of the community towards our work evolved with time, and actually we believe that some of the relevant feature that made this possible was time. Time was a big factor. And then adjustment, you know, the linguist has to adjust to the community and vice versa. And also this nurtured collaboration that we established, right? So we not only spend some time there, but in between field work, we were still keeping in touch with the community.
So now we turn to the ingredients that may help in making a collaboration successful in our views. The main element we found is to be able to install, develop, and maintain trust. And this is achieved, we think, by a long field trip, and during which a lot of socializing with the speakers is done. And by trying to participate in the community's activity, then we think that the documenter will be able to access a number of situations beneficial to his research. Also, learning the language is one of the really fun parts of fieldwork, as you show the speakers that you have a genuine interest for their language. And you should also try to be dedicated beyond linguistic matters. So, as you can see, we gave homework support to kids there, and I also sent a local canoe builder to town to build a canoe for the public. It is also very important not to limit your relationship with the community to the bare hiring of language informants, and try to create extended exchange relationships. Then, to conclude, we found that it was crucial that both parties benefit from the project. So, one thing on the linguist side is to try to honor your engagements, and so don't promise too much to the community. And of course, this will help you if you have to go back to the same area for other projects, which is going to be my case. Thank you.
So we have a few minutes for questions, if anyone has any. And if you do, please identify yourself before you ask your question.
Yes, Dr. Ray.
Well, the thing is, I think the field methods teacher has to know the place has to know the country, because I think every place has its own little particularities. And for example, in Vanuatu, you have to deal with the community you're going to work with, but you also have to deal with institutions at the national level. So in Vanuatu, there's the Cultural Council, the National Cultural Council, which regulates foreign researchers going into community to do any kind of research. And so you get delivered a permit. So you make a contract, an arrangement with this council. And typically they ask you to do something that's gonna benefit the community. And I was asked to do an orthography, which is something that I'm keeping on doing now. It's not finished yet. But that's one thing I think that people should be aware. But then, how to prepare students?
It's there is in this book that Newman co-edited. Right, there is an article that says fieldwork as a state of mind, and. It's really difficult to prepare the students because you have no idea, what the situation is going to be like in the field, because each community is going to be different, each situation politically, the political stability, etc., you name it. So how can you train someone to be flexible and open-minded? it's really tough. But I mean, it's still very important, I believe, to do this field methods class, because at least you have the that's just for the linguistics training, at least. But then, I think what could be helpful, I'm not sure if it would, but what could be helpful would be to have student in the program, in the documentation program, take mandatorily a class in anthropology or ethnography or something, right? I think, because that would give them some idea of, how people live, what's culture, and I think that would be beneficial.
People in the same volume that you mentioned, the Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah. 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 Yeah, it would be nice to have more of this type of paper for, you know, all countries, but what? It is, but then if you look at our, we both work in the same country, right? And the islands are like barely an hour away apart. And then everything was completely different. The language I work on is moribund, you know, 30 speakers who don't care. Whereas for him, like 500 people, like 90% of the population is interested, you know. So even if it's the same country, I mean, of course, then you can, you know, list all the possibilities, but then it's, you have to co-author.
And I don't know if I will have time to write papers, since maybe I'm going to be caught translating the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, we have time for maybe one more question.
Yes, Stefan. Yeah. Oh, yes. That worked out very well for me. The first time I went only for 2 months, barely 2 months, and I get to know people and try to explain what I was there for. And then when I came back, it was much more positive. Everyone was much more welcoming. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, everyone. If you have more questions,
thank
you. Then you can talk about them later.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, don't put it away. You know, it's...
Mais oui, on est arrivé 20 minutes après. Ça devait commencer à 10h40. Ici, on a commencé, c'était 11h.
But you know, we have the room until 11:30, so.
Yeah.
And everyone knows you.